I was asked a question last week, and it was an excellent question. And I think this is the kind of a question, the thought behind this needs to be understood by every person. I was asked, what is it to be tantalized, or what is tantalization? And I think that was a really superior question. Because in Genesis chapter 3, that was exactly the strategy that the serpent used against Eve, was tantalization. Tantalization is Satan's number one weapon, I believe. Particularly against young people. But against older people too, but in a different sort of a way. Young people are frequently tantalized by things of the surface. Older people will be tantalized by opportunity and things like that frequently. For example, a younger person may be tantalized by the potential of a superficial relationship. Tantalization is when the old sin nature, via a lust pattern, hooks up with the emotions to respond on a horizontal plateau. That is an important thing to understand, because when tantalization has its conception within the human heart, within the frame of reference, it will pursue after the ego, or if there's a self-image issue with that person, it'll pursue after the self-image. And the self-image can be severely victimized by tantalization, but not in the way that people think. The self-image is frequently a target of tantalization. In other words, the tantalization will build someone in their self-image when their self-image is not being derived from God. There is only one place where we can derive our self-image and have it end up healthy. And that is from God and His Word. What He says about us is who we are. I can't derive my self-image from another person. I can't derive my self-image by anything external, and I can't derive my self-image by anything about myself. You see, if a believer, and unfortunately in today's culture, young people fall particular prey to self-image issues. Because the culture pounds on people that you're not living up to what you ought to be. I think the most obvious example, although certainly not the only one, is when they are pounding on young women. You're not sexy enough, you're not good looking enough, you're not unclothed enough to be acceptable. And the tantalization will come if a boy who is unclean in some way comes and initiates in the wrong way to that young woman. And her emotions will get tantalized, and what will happen is the emotions will hook up with a lust pattern in her. Lust is anything that is apart from the will of God that I desire. That's lust. There are six fundamental lust patterns. Every person has a portion of all of them. Every person has one major one. If it's something like recognition or acceptance lust, or if there's a sensual lust in that person, and this is the part of that old sin nature that the enemy targets, if that hooks up with a person's emotions and tantalization comes in, then Satan will start to tantalize them with the wrong thing. In Eve's case, she lusted for understanding and knowledge. And Satan tantalized that she could understand as the angels. Notice that if you ever look it up, notice that in the language there, it's a lowercase, you shall be as gods. That was talking about the angels. The angels were there in the garden. And they did have fellowship, Ezekiel says, with the angels. And Satan was, as a matter of fact, some of the trees referred to the angels. Ezekiel likened Satan as the grandest of the trees in the garden. When that tantalization comes, hooks up with a lust pattern, if it hits on a self-image or if it hits on the ego, and it almost always hits one of those, then Satan has a major tool with which he can grab a hold of people and then control them. And ultimately, they'll actually protect the source of the tantalization, even though it is demonic. And they'll be completely blind to it because it's something that they actually desire, that their emotions are saying is very good, because their emotions are responding to it and it's feeding into them. And they like the sensation. Now, somebody sent me an email this week, which I thought was an outstanding email. And they talked about the nature of love. And this person made an excellent point. This person said that God's love is clean. But the love that is impure, and frequently that is what tantalization offers you, either love from a person or love in another sense, love as in acceptance by a group. That's really just another form of love that people are looking for. Or maybe love is in recognition by peers or whoever. So these are all forms of love that people are mistaking for love. They're looking for it in those things, but it's not actual love. It is a lust pattern. One of the things also that people have to realize is that lust and love are not the same thing. Lust is a dangerous and cheap substitute. But anyway, this person made a very good statement. The love that the world has to offer, which is also the love that causes tantalization, feels dirty. There's no cleanness in it. There's no purity and tranquility and peace to the soul in it. A person pursues it because it energizes, but it feels dirty. That's not the love of God. The love of God never feels dirty. The love of God is always clean. Be careful for tantalization. It is one of the most powerful, most effective weapon that Satan has. And the reason is because not only does it hit us very hard, but we side with the enemy in it against ourselves. When it's happening, it's almost like we know we're being tantalized and yet deny it at the same time because we desire it. And that's a bad place to be for a believer. I will almost guarantee you that if it hasn't happened to you yet, that it will eventually happen to you, that the enemy tries to tantalize you with something. Young men, and think more so than young women, will become tantalized with thoughts of success in the world because their self-image is built on it. Which college am I going to go to? Tantalization. Am I going to go to the college that'll give me this? Well, if you're thinking, am I going to go to the college that'll give me this, as opposed to, am I going to go to the college where God is calling me, if He's even calling you to a college, then you're thinking in the wrong way. Now, trust me, I have nothing against going to college. Okay, I have 6 college degrees. So I'm not somebody who's going to say, if you're let to go to college, you know, secular college is bad. No, secular college is a trap. But it's not necessarily bad in and of itself. You can get some good things out of it. I like how Lawrence Krapp puts it. Some people say cut off the world, like don't go to college. I've heard people actually say don't go to college if you're a Christian. It's, you know, terrible place. Well, yes, if you get involved in the college mentality that the world has, it's a terrible place. But I like the way that Lawrence, you spoil the Egyptians. Right, you take those things from the world which are useful to your walk with God. I mean, everybody has to do that. I mean, or no church would actually ever survive. Right, because everybody has a job and very few people are fortunate enough You know, every adult has a job, and very few people are fortunate enough to be self-employed or employed in a Christian company where you have good fellowship. And there's some, but not many. Most people have to work in the world. Like, I work in the world. I work in an environment that's often very ungodly. But you spoil the Egyptians. You spoil the Egyptians. You take those parts that are useful to the kingdom, that are beneficial, and you leave the rest behind. But even in those things, believers have to be careful not to become tantalized. Tantalization, if I get tantalized, it should serve to me as a huge red flag. It's a major warning light. You're being tantalized. Satan is working on you. Because God will not tantalize you. That's not how He operates. God draws you with loving kindness and tender mercies. But He doesn't tantalize. The love that God gives you is pure and it's clean and it's holy. And on the inside, you don't feel dirty when you go after God's love. You feel actually cleansed because it's God's brand of love. And it's an overwhelming love. It is such a major strategy that the enemy uses against believers, particularly young believers. Although older believers can be used against also. And the reason why I say particularly young believers is because young believers tend to have novice traits. They tend to rely on their own selves too much, on their own understanding and thinking too much. It's not really a good thing to do. They think, oh, I know a little bit of doctrine now, and so, you know, let me at it. But they don't always do things wisely because they don't understand yet. They're young. Now, that's not to say that they are somehow less than. It's just like saying if you see a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old child who doesn't understand the things of life, you don't think that child is less than. You just, oh, no, they're young. Well, that's how it is with young believers. Oh, well, they're young. So they're not less than. They're not doing anything wrong. Frequently, they have amazing convictions. And they're beautiful believers. But they're young. And being young has its advantages, but also has its disadvantages. I think young believers have the advantage of energy. They get excited and they have energy. They have the disadvantage, and this is even in the world they say this, but I think it's applicable. They have the disadvantage of not having experience with God, or limited experience with God. And that can be a serious pitfall because it leaves me blind. And I may try to reason things out and a seasoned veteran will come. And this has happened to me when I was a young believer. There were people who invested in my life and said, this is how it's done. By the way, do you know what understanding is? Understanding is gaining experience from other people's experience. Gaining knowledge and gaining their experience and adopting it as my own. That's understanding. Well, the Bible says, buy to yourself understanding. It says, get wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is knowing how to properly apply the Word of God in your life. So, learn how to properly apply the Word of God in your life and gain the experience that was gained by others. That's understanding. When you get that, then you're going to start walking very wisely. I'll never forget one time, this was years ago, I was talking to the president of our Bible college and the man who was the international field director for our church. And I was looking at these guys and it suddenly struck me who it was that I was talking to. Both of them were veteran missionaries. Both of them were veteran pastors. Both of them were like mighty in the kingdom. as I saw him as a Bible college kid. And I was just looking at him and thought, oh my God, I can't believe who I'm talking to. And it occurred to me, and I still say it to this day, because it's true, that I stand, and this is not my own quote, but it's true, I stand on the shoulders of giants. If I am anything, I stand on the shoulders of giants. And this is where the believer needs to be. The believer needs to learn how to stand on the shoulders of giants. Why? So they can learn how to grow. So they can learn how to grow. You know, the thought comes, if you want to be a giant, be birthed by giants. Do you understand? If you want to be a giant, be birthed by giants. In other words, if you want a life that is potent with God, glean from the people who have a life that is potent with God. If you want to learn how to walk in faith, receive from the people who know how to walk in faith. If you want to learn about the love of God, receive from the people who know the love of God. If you want to walk in wisdom, hang around the people who have wisdom. Why? Because then you stand on their shoulders. In Bible college, it's one of the things I purposed to do, is every week I would have breakfast with certain people. I'd have breakfast with the college president, with the international field secretary, and with the college vice president. All of them were veteran missionaries and pastors. And all of them were available. Anyway, that's just a thought before we get started.